Blockchain technology has quickly moved from the little known to the mainstream. One piece of evidence, it made the Dilbert comic strip this month. At the General Services Administration, blockchain is also making a difference. And joining me with more, Jose Arrieta, Director of Contract Operations for the IT Schedule 70 program. Mr. Arrieta, good to have you on.
Good morning, Tom. Good to be on.
So you are in charge of making sure that vendors on the Schedule 70 IT program get their contracts established in the first place, correct?
Yes, sir.
That's kind of a complicated process?
Yeah, I mean, the process involves analyzing a vendor's pricing, their management approach, their technical ability to deliver a solution, as well as past performance. So it can be pretty complicated, especially if you haven't been through it before.
And how long does it generally take? Say I'm an IT company, I want to get into that market, and I say, call up GSA and say, how do I get a contract on Schedule 70? How long can I expect it to take?
Yeah, our normal process takes about 110 days, and then we've created an expedited process that takes somewhere between 35 and 40 days. But that is assuming that the industry partner has actually prepared all of the documentation necessary to get through the process.
Okay, so we're going to return to that time and the process, but let's talk about blockchain as a technology for a moment. How did you first become aware of it?
While working at the United States Treasury, I was lucky to work for the then Deputy Secretary, and she had an interest in blockchain as an emerging technology. And that's where my first exposure to it happened, probably around the beginning of 2015.
And what was the interest in Treasury of it?
There's many folks in Treasury were looking at blockchain and the impact it could have on regulation, on financial regulation for large banking institutions. And so Treasury was very interested in it from that perspective because if ever implemented fully, which it hasn't been, it would change financial regulation.
And how is that? Because I think people think of it as a transactional storage type of technology. So how would it apply to regulation?
Yeah, I think that the biggest impact is that it would disintermediate the financial services industry. And that disintermediation would actually bump up against a lot of the existing regulations that exist. So how do you manage something that disintermediates the way business currently works?
In other words, people could do business and have financial transactions without financial institutions in the middle.
Well, that's one of the thoughts. Yeah, and it hasn't been proven to work that way, but that was one of the reasons why they were interested in it and paying attention to it.
And did they ultimately do anything with it, or what happened?
Yeah, I think that from a regulatory perspective, learning about the technology, getting an understanding of its implementations anywhere that it may have happened is the key focus of folks that are on the policy side of the house. So they were studying it at the time, and they continue to study it and pay attention to it and kind of identify all of the way that it could put pressure on the existing financial regulatory framework that exists in the United States.
And what was your job at that time at Treasury?
I was the small business executive, but because of a background in the national security space at DHS, I was able to, and a background in technology as it relates to national security and DHS, I was interested in looking into blockchain as an emerging technology and looking at it specifically as to the way that it could actually transform some of the technological investments that we've made in the United States, specifically in the national security space.
So actually then your experience or your knowledge of it predates even Treasury. You looked at it at the DHS posting?
No, at DHS, I didn't look at it. I happened to work with technology at DHS, but we didn't look at it at DHS.
Okay, so then you moved to GSA, where you are now, and I guess the biggest schedule is 70, isn't it, of all of the scheduled contract programs?
Yes, sir. It is the largest schedule contract that we have at GSA, and the largest GWAC that we have, so yes.
And you mentioned in a presentation recently that there are pain points that go along with obtaining Schedule 70 contracts. And
Schedule 70 is 4,500 suppliers, and the onboarding process for Schedule 70 can be perceived by different suppliers in different ways. And so when we look at Schedule 70 and when I came in, we've lessened the burden a ton for industry partners in terms of getting a Schedule 70 contract, and we wanted to lessen it even more. And at the same time, we wanted to lessen the burden on the contracting professional so that the contracting professional's view of the vendor would be equal throughout the process. And that's not always the case because people have different perceptions of what is needed and what information they're actually digesting.
So it sounds as if there are several people within GSA at a given time that have to make a decision about whether someone gets that contract?
There's not several people, but we have about 170 contract officers, contract specialists that work on Schedule 70, and they each have kind of a different understanding of technology and a different perception of the information being submitted. So, you know, in order to kind of lessen the burden on the industry partner, we've been trying to streamline that as much as possible. And we've done that over the years. I mean, our Fast Link has really streamlined that and made it super targeted. And what we wanted to do, in particular with blockchain, is we wanted to take a look at our business process, roll it onto a blockchain, and then actually automate parts of our business process. So rather than submitting information to Schedule 70 contracting professional for review, the information would be submitted and immediately a vendor, an industry partner, would get a response. Hey, you forgot this information. Hey, we, you know. So within 1 second, they get that response versus actually waiting for it to get to a human being and for a human being to go and review it.
We're speaking with Jose Arrieta, Director of the Office of IT Schedule Contract Operations at the General Services Administration. And so just roll out, if you would, for a moment, that process that you describe. You need to submit information about yourself as a company, and someone has to look at that information. How can the blockchain automate the knowledge of that it's verified information?
Yeah, so blockchain actually doesn't do the automation. It provides a baseline for automation. So what we did is we looked at the business process of getting a Schedule 70 contract, and we figured out what the optimal path was. We identified two parts in the optimal path that took a long period of time. One of them is a financial analysis of the company in terms of its ability to actually deliver value. And the other one is a pre-negotiation memorandum. It's something that our contract specialists, contracting officers do before they actually negotiate with a contractor. Along the optimal path, those two steps took a lot of time. So we took the optimal path, we put everything on top of a distributed ledger technology or blockchain. We put it on top of Hyperledger. Along the way, we redesigned all of the user interfaces that we actually collected information from the vendor. So an industry partner doesn't have to log into multiple systems now. They can just enter the information once. And then what we did is we ran microservices on the top of the blockchain to actually automate those two business processes. So rather than take, you know, a number of days to do financial analysis, a number of days to kind of develop a negotiation position, rather than have to log into, you know, a bunch of different systems to find that information and organize it, we actually are able to do that now in a second, in 1 second. And that lessens the burden on the industry partner, and it allows the contracting professional to actually focus on more critical thinking tasks, rather than the process tasks associated with interacting with multiple systems. So we thought that as a test, that would add great value.
And what was the difference between doing it on a chain versus just doing it in a database where it would also be recorded?
That's a fantastic question. So, I mean, you know, we could have actually automated the business process leveraging robotics processing automation and not using blockchain at all. However, leveraging blockchain gives us an immutable record of all interactions between two entities, in this instance, an industry partner and an actual contracting professional. So for the life of the term that industry partner is on our scheduled contract, we will have a record of all interactions with them that's auditable and that you can go back in time and review at any given time. The other thing that having the blockchain allows you to do is because you have an immutable record of truth about each entity on your network, you can run microservices with a level of accuracy that you couldn't run before because you don't have to rationalize two databases. On the blockchain, everybody that actually has an enabled view to view the information on there is looking at the same record. They're not multiple databases that have to be rationalized amongst one another. And the third thing that is really interesting for us is that we can actually extend our business network out in the future. So putting it on a blockchain actually gives us the ability to extend our business network out to customer agencies as well as to other aspects of our contracting process. And because we can extend that network out, it'll give us a record, an immutable record of all interactions with those entities as well, whether it be a customer agency, whether it be an auditor within GSA, whether it be a contracting specialist, whether it be an industry partner, whether it be somebody that's performing financial analysis or someone that's doing industrial operations analyst. And that's significant. And when you don't have to rationalize databases, and Tom, as I'm sure you know, it significantly lowers your cost and allows you to be super flexible with the way you actually deliver service, which is kind of the fourth piece that's so interesting to us here at GSA.
Sounds like almost as if you're replacing an ecosystem with a new one that's much quicker and much more secure or much more verifiable.
Yeah, I think what we're doing is we are testing the ability to see if there's a different ecosystem that can actually deliver value to the taxpayer, that can actually lessen the burden on industry partners, lessen the burden on contracting professionals so they can free up more time to focus on critical thinking tasks like engaging with customer agencies or negotiating directly with the industry partners that we work with. And we're by no means completely done. I mean, the pilot that I'm describing to you, it took a total of about 7 weeks to develop. It was a very modest cost. I mean, we did it with a small business. So we're by no means done. We just wanted to dip our toe in the water and kind of push the envelope. If we're the executive agency responsible for serving the taxpayer and customer agencies as it relates to procurement, we ought to push ourselves in the direction of testing emerging technology and see how it works. And we've performed a proof and it works, and we hope to continue to look at ways to expand it.
And what are some of the results in terms of time and transaction?
So great question. From a timing perspective, the business processes that we've automated leveraging microservices on the blockchain will reduce the time from, say for financial analysis, depending on the company, could take somewhere between 10 and 20 days. We've reduced it to a second, assuming that there's no issue that has to be reviewed at a higher level, or there's no ask for more information to actually make a business decision. And same thing in terms of pre-negotiation memorandums development. So we've reduced the time extensively. From a cost perspective, we believe that we'll be able to lower our direct cost of actually analyzing a proposal by close to 80%. That's not proven yet. We still have to kind of build out the rest of the microservices so that the entire business processes, as much of the business process is automated. But our goal is actually to get the onboarding time for scheduled contractors from, 110 days through our normal process and 40 days through our fast lane process to less than 10 days. And my goal is actually to get it to less than 5, but the goal is less than 10 days.
That would be a 90% reduction.
Yes, sir.
And let's talk about the process by which you arrived at this. How do you develop applications for blockchain? Because there's three parts. There's the chain in the middle, and then each party has a wallet, as I understand it. And the programming takes place in the wallet.
A lot of what you're describing is what you'd read in terms of financial transactions. So we didn't actually leverage that approach. What we did is we said we have a business process, and we control the market that we operate in because, we actually set the rules for what it takes to get a federal contract. So we identified a permission-based blockchain capability called Hyperledger, and then we looked at our business process and we mapped out what the optimal path was, just sitting down and saying, okay, from A to B, what is the actual steps that you have to take to get a scheduled contract? And then what information do you need to actually get through all those steps? And basically, we took Hyperledger, we layered it over that optimal path, and we redesigned the user interfaces to collect that information from the industry partner on the front end. And once we were able to ensure that we can collect all the information we need and the optimal path was mapped out on Hyperledger, we actually developed microservices leveraging automated machine learning and robotics processing automation to actually automate two of those steps, and I described them to you earlier. And the other key thing about blockchain is if the chain gets heavy, if there's a lot of information on the chain, whether it be pictures and videos, it gets very slow. And so automating business processes becomes clunky. And that's one of the issues you'll read about if you read about it from a payments perspective, which is pretty much all that people have written on blockchain. And what we did to combat that is we actually took anything that was heavy, whether it was a picture, whether it was a video, and we dropped it into a database called MongoDB that's also immutable. And so the database houses information on each entity coming in through the blockchain in an immutable way, but we only keep the information that's on the chain itself that we need to automate. so that the chain can operate flexibly and very lightly.
So the chain can have a
process we went through.
So the chain can have a reference to those database items, but not actually be loaded with them itself.
Absolutely. That's exactly correct.
And who did the programming here? I mean, how do you learn, how do you find someone that can program in the blockchain environment?
We did this through a competitive process. We posted an RFQ. We had more than 10 vendors respond. We set it aside for small, so we had more than double-digit vendors respond. Small business won the work. The name of the company is United Solutions. And they had partnered with a larger company as a subcontractor that was a design-centric firm called Sapient Solutions. The interesting thing, and we did it in a flexible way. Instead of writing a statement of work, we wrote a statement of objectives. So we said we wanted to automate our business process, and we outlined different technologies that we would be open to, but we didn't specify how we wanted the work to be done. The interesting thing here is I was really kind of gung-ho on leveraging a distributed ledger technology and running microservices off of that, but I didn't want to recreate the user interfaces. And in the oral presentation by these two companies, they specifically said you have to recreate the user interfaces in order for the impact of this to be seen by the workforce and by industry partners. And they were so passionate about it based on their oral presentation that I was like, okay, you know, that actually sounds, you know, like an approach we can take, you know, if they were to win. And they ended up winning and they did it. And Tom, I think it was the best thing that we ever did, because blockchain in and of itself is pretty boring. Once you redesign the user interfaces, it shows how it will impact you as a contracting officer or as an industry partner, and it becomes very impactful. And I think that was one of the keys to actually building what we built.
And what is the status of it now? You have tested it with just a couple of contractors, or is it something that is broadly in place now at GSA for Schedule 70?
Yeah, so great question. So we've run a bunch of dummy data through it and real contractor information, but not related to any company, just folks that have kind of said they would share their information. And we've briefed it across GSA. So we want to make sure that the workforce got a chance to look at it, specifically the Schedule 70 workforce. We want to make sure that our leadership had an opportunity to digest it. And we gave ourselves 3 months. I mean, we completed this on September 29th, I believe. And we gave ourselves from September through December to share it with all parties that are interested within GSA, as well as industry partners. And I've been going out and speaking about our experience and also sharing the demo with anyone and everyone that has an interest in it, including customer agencies. So the status of it now is we're still trying to get a handle on how it works. And we have some thoughts on next step, but we want to make sure that we take into account everybody's perspective before we actually entertain what next steps are. We're really trying to live in the present on this before we get too far in the future, because we realize this is going to touch a number of stakeholders.
And one of the items that came up in one of the presentations that I heard is that everyone has a copy of the blockchain that is involved in these systems. And that could be a storage issue or a replication issue. How are you dealing with that one?
Yeah, so it's interesting that you so this is the hardest part about understanding blockchain. It is true that everybody has a copy. Everyone has a view of the original copy, and that's the interesting thing. So rather than recreate the copy multiple times, you have a data layer that all stakeholders have a view into. Now, from a GSA perspective, we control what our market participants have a view into, because there are certain rules associated with what an industry partner can see. We're not going to share, you know, multiple industry partners' information with each other. But it's not actually multiple databases with copies. It's actually one transparent view that multiple stakeholders can see in real time. And that is a record of all the interactions between one another. So, you know, so from a storage perspective, not too worried about storage overall. Worried about storage from the perspective of if multiple participants come on and we get into, you know, 5 and 10,000 companies that are leveraging it, we have to manage storage on the back end, but not from a replication perspective for multiple databases for all of participants in the network, because that won't happen.
Sounds like this is a good case for cloud in order to scale when you need to.
Yeah, I mean, so truthfully, Tom, and a very intuitive point on your part, you know, I don't believe that what we've done and what other folks are doing with AI or automated machine learning would be possible without cloud. So this is completely done leveraging a full cloud environment. So if we didn't have commercial cloud, I don't think we'd been able to do what we did.
Jose Arrieta is Director of Contract Operations for the IT Schedule 70 program at the General Services Administration. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your time.
We'll post a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.